It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better from BetQL.
Hour number two, You Better, You Bet. Wonderful Wednesday. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley here with you on BetQL. Every game's game seven on BetQL. And the only BS you got here, bets and sports. Brian Baldinger joins us in 20 minutes. Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. A game of whatever you prefer. NFL Week 2 edition coming up in 40 minutes. Evan Silva still to come. Establish the run. Brett McMurphy still to come from the Action Network. Power Hour, Final Hour with our golf bets for the Safeway, the Fortinet, the Fortinet, whatever the hell it's called. It's out in California at the Silverado. Love that. Love that golf course.
Silverado.
Rocky Mountain High. Silverado. Yes, I know. That's not the lyrics. Day three of Lockmas as well. Santa Lockie's here with some totals he likes for week three of college football. But right now on the show, we start off hour number two on a wonderful Wednesday, making his You Better You Bet debut, and we are excited to have him. We've had his podcast co-host on the show a couple times before. Our guy Rick Camp does a great job doing NBA player props for this website. That website is 4 for 4. The aforementioned podcast is Move the Line. The aforementioned co-worker is Connor Allen, and our guest at this time is the director of betting for 4 for 4, our good pal, Ryan Noonan. Ryan, welcome to You Better You Bet. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley. Wonderful Wednesday on BetQL. How you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I mean, obviously a longtime fan, and Nick was made an appearance, his debut on Move the Line this season in our preseason preview. So excited to be here and talk some football.
So Ryan, but before we get to week two, and I know we have a bunch of bets that you're interested in, excited to go through all of those, give us an idea how your week one went. I feel like, you know, for a lot of people, especially if you had underdogs, it was really popular. If you had unders, you also did very well. Player props, obviously a mixed bag depending on which game you picked. How did week one treat you?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good, Ken. I mean, Man, sides are so hard, right? I mean, we spend so much time, you know, to try to help people get down on the best of the number. And, you know, that's actually made week two pretty hard because I feel like I'm mad at myself for not taking better positions in the look-ahead market. But we spend so much time really trying to focus on player prop edges. And I love the team total market. I don't know about you guys. I just feel like there's such an edge there. And I went really hard on the Seahawks. I think the Colts are a little bit fraudulent defensively. And the Niners team total. So those were kind of anchor plays for me last weekend, and they kind of sealed my week. So hoping to do that again.
Twitter at Rye, R-Y, Noonan, to be sure to follow Ryan there. Ryan, let's spin it ahead now to week number two. Know you've got some sides that you like. Know you've got some props that you like. Let's start off with Thursday Night Football. My embarrassing, pathetic, hideous New York Football Giants. 3.5 point dogs on the road at the football team of Washington with Taylor Heinicke starting in place of the injured Ryan Fitzpatrick. Side total props anywhere you want to go. What do you have for us, Giants in Washington, Thursday night?
Yeah, so if the listeners out there have points bet opportunities in their market, I don't typically dabble in the points betting itself. It's actually something that Connor, my co-host, likes to do. But we have an interesting advantage, we think, in Daniel Jones' rushing over. His prop number out there is like 22.5 in most spots. We have him closer to 30. I think the first time he played Washington last year, I think he had like 75. If you look at it, he's hitting this at about 50% clip on the over. But like the delta between where he's at and sometimes where he reaches the ceiling, there's like massive opportunities if you like to risk the points bet. So I'm fine with that number just in the binary prop market too. But I don't mind chasing a little extra risk because I don't really love a lot else in that game. So I'd rather be able to hit some ceiling somewhere else because it's kind of just a stinker.
And at Bitter Rivers, our show sponsor, 17.5 the rushing yards for Daniel Jones. And I'll be curious if the prop king on tomorrow night show. Okay, there you go. There you go. So first, our one game, one bet already from Ryan as he makes his appearance on the show. I know Nick and I spent some time, Ryan, talking about Jets-Patriots just before we had you on in the previous segment. Kind of a fascinating line move in the game, total dropping. So the Patriots out to 5.5 point favorite in most places. There were sixes on the board right before the show in a couple places. So the number obviously moving in one direction, as the Jets have a lot of injury woes and probably not a lot of people interested in betting them anyway. So Patriots about a 5.5 point favorite, total 42. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I suck. I'm not going to be helpful to listeners. I got a 3.5 and I'm good with a 3.5. I'd probably still go to 5.5. Yeah, 6 is a little rich, but I really actually like the team total under on the Jets side. I think they're really going to struggle. Obviously, the Beckham injury on the line is a problem. I really just love this Patriots defense this year, especially they're just deep up front. I think they're going to be able to get a lot of pass rush. You know, the Panthers have a decent pass rush, but nothing to write home about. And they were all over Zach Wilson last week. I think New England bounces back, takes care of business here. The win chase is too high. like I said, the six makes me nervous. I try to still grab a 5.5, still working around those key numbers that are so important to us in the NFL. But that team total, 18.5, I think, is out there at FanDuel. I think Rivers is at 17.5, and I'm still going to chase it when I'm getting the right side of the key number at 17.
Yeah, Rivers, by the way, I have Jets team total 18.5 right now currently. And our show sponsor, Ben Rivers. So there, so you can tell by the sound of the guttural noise by Ryan indicating that he does, in fact, like that coming up for the Jets team total under Sunday against the New England Patriots. Ryan, let's head over to Indianapolis, where the Colts are 4-point home underdogs against the Los Angeles Rams. And I know you are targeting one of the running backs in this game. Some props for him. Tell us who it is and why.
Yeah, I don't really understand the number on Jonathan Taylor in the receiving market. I guess I do. I mean, right, they're going to kind of extrapolate their preseason projections for him. But his receiving total yards is out there at 14.5 in most spots. Last week, he was heavily involved in the passing game. He ran, I think, just 3 fewer routes than Nyheim Hines, caught 6 of his 7 targets for 60 yards. Obviously, game script did not go well for them. I don't anticipate it going much better here. They're probably best to avoid running straight into that Rams offensive line. They were best defensive line in EPA per rush allowed last year. So if they're going to sprinkle him in, even somewhat close to Hines usage, this number is way off on the yardage. I also like we have an edge, too, on his receptions. I believe that's 2.5 across the board out there. We're projecting 3.5. I think that's 2.5 at plus money. I obviously like the receiving yards. We're way more bullish on that than the receptions, but I think that there's an edge, especially getting, I think, plus 120 across the market on over 2.5 receptions. So both of those numbers, if somehow you can go full degen and same game parlay those bad boys, I think that that's a beautiful correlation. But definitely hammer the over on the receiving yards.
Ryan, I'm just curious with that game, too. That was another one that Nick and I talked about recently. I think really curious to see where this line goes, right? So Rams -4 as a road favorite. We obviously remember that Seattle was a slightly smaller road favorite, so similar division even, visiting Indianapolis last week. And now we see 4 with the Rams with a total at 47.5. I know you don't have to have a pick on the game necessarily, but, you know, kind of your best guess, maybe where's the line going? If you had to bet the game side or total, what would you do?
Yeah, it's tough, Ken. It's another one of those situations where when the Carson Wentz news broke, I took a position on the Rams in the preseason at 2.5. And again, it was still kind of sitting there all last weekend. So I'm going to hold my 2.5. 4 is just, I don't really like this Colts team, to be honest. So I would still lean the Rams, even though I'm knowing I'm getting the worst of the number here. I just think that the offensive line is really touted as like an elite unit, and they're not. They were like 20th in run block win rate last year, I think 22nd in pass block win rate. It's really, I think, just tied to Quentin Nelson. We all love him. He's a mauler, right? He's going to be a 99 on Madden and things like that. But overall, the unit's not very good. Carson Wentz is abysmal. I mean, holding the ball for like 3.5 seconds per dropback still. So the Rams are still the advantage there. They still take it anywhere, probably under 4.5.
You better, you bet, BetQL. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley. Wonderful Wednesday chatting NFL Week 2 with Ryan Noonan from 4for4 on Twitter, at Ryan Noonan. Ryan, how do you see it playing out Sunday Night Football? Chiefs visiting the Ravens, total in the mid-50s, and Kansas City about a 3.5 or 4-point favorite.
Yes, this is actually one of my favorite things to do when the book kind of presents itself this way. We have some of these massive, massive favorites, right? So this week we have the Browns, we have Tampa Bay, who else am I missing?
Packers.
That's another huge, huge favorite. Oh, Green Bay on Monday night, right? So these like 10 to 12 point favorites. So the Chiefs right now are most places like 195, 200 on the money line. But if you basically you make a money line parlay with those other three, so it's the Packers, the Browns, and the Bucks, and then you throw the Chiefs in there as well, you're basically buying the Chiefs money line down to like plus 140. And that's what I did this week. Took a really big position on that. I think that the Chiefs' advantage here is pretty substantial. We know that the Ravens have just been a team that struggles to come from behind. Obviously, we saw what happened on Monday night with the injuries that just kind of continue to add up. I mean, losing Marcus Peters in the back half is a real problem for them. I just don't see a way that they slow the Chiefs down. And we just haven't seen enough from Lamar as a pocket passer still. I believe only 25% of his attempts last year were outside the numbers. That is by far the lowest in the league, and you have to be able to do that to hang with this Chiefs team. So give me the Chiefs again. I'm going to take the money line in this situation. 3.5 is a little rich, but I think they probably have no problem with the Ravens on Sunday night.
Ryan, you mentioned something briefly there, the preponderance of big favorites this week, right? You mentioned three of them. We have three double-digit favorites. And I know for a lot of people that either bet, you know, kind of making the money line parlays that you're talking about, or people who play Survivor Eliminator pools, like you're all basically trying to solve the same problem, right? Which is figuring out, can any of these teams realistically lose these games? Now, the answer, of course, to all three is yes. It's just trying to figure out how likely it is that any of the three are going to lose. So, you know, whether it's from a Survivor perspective, Eliminator perspective, do any of those three make you nervous whatsoever that you think an underdog might actually be able to cover that game, make it a close game on the stretch? If you had to pick one, let's say, where you're the most confident a team's going to win, and one where maybe the team might be, the favorite might be in a little bit of trouble, how would you break down those three double-digit games we have?
Yeah, I mean, we had Nick on joining me for the NFC South preview when we were just kind of drooling collectively over the Buccaneers this year. And I just don't see a way that the Falcons, especially what they did last weekend, there's really nothing in there that makes you think they're going to Tampa Bay to beat the Bucs there. It's obviously, I think it's the Packers are pretty much the obvious team. They laid a stinker in a big, big way. I think home and Monday night, they are, you know, there's a reason they're a double digit favorite, but they're pretty much the one that makes you a little bit nervous. And what we saw last of them was not super exciting. Interdivision game, all of those things. Maybe the Lions are still buying into some of that late momentum from last week and, you know, biting kneecaps and stuff like that. Maybe that hasn't worn off yet. So that's probably the only place. I mean, I think we see the Texans kind of do what the Jags did last year. Like, they hang one in week one and then probably still lose out down the stretch. So otherwise, they're probably the team that could possibly blow that up.
Ryan, I know we've talked about already that you feel really strong on, so it's totally okay if you don't have, like, bets or, like, super strong takes on the games we'll ask you about moving forward here. But do want to get your opinion on some of these games because they're fascinating and we want to bet on them. What do you think we're going to see from the Bills offense this weekend? Obviously struggled last week against Pittsburgh, now travels to take on the Miami Dolphins this weekend. Buffalo, a 3.5-point favorite in South Beach, total of 48. What about Miami hosting Buffalo?
Yeah, this one's interesting. We know going to Miami in September is typically pretty negative UV for teams. It's obviously significantly warmer there than it is in upstate New York this time of year. They had no problem last year. I believe they won down there 31-28. What was interesting last week is, and I don't think that the Bills, I don't think that the Dolphins can replicate what the Steelers did. They really hung back and really rushed four, got pressure with just four, and really tried to confuse Josh Allen, and it worked. I think one of the issues with the Dolphins defensively, they were really noisy last year defensively. Like, this is a middle-of-the-pack defense that was elite on third down, elite on fourth down, and had the highest turnover margin in the league. So my concern is that there's going to be regression on the defensive side for the Dolphins this year anyway, but I don't know that they have the pass rush to do what the Steelers did. Basically, you know, counting on a rookie, Jalen Phillips, who's really having a hard time beating out some guys. I don't even believe that those are real names, like Garfinkel or whoever is the edge out there getting snaps from Miami.
I'll tell you what, he was great with Simon back in the 60s and 70s, man. Garfinkel, I loved him.
He was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, was over troubled water. They had some flappers still, but yeah, I don't know that they're going to be able to get the pressure that the Steelers did last week. So I would lean Bills against another one where now they're moving through some of the key numbers. It's kind of a stay away for me, but it's definitely one I'm watching. I'm interested on the Bills big time this season, so I'm interested to see what happens here with this one.
Ryan, we have about 2 minutes left. Would love to get your take on a game that Nick and I have spent a pretty good amount of time going over, but I think just like has so many more layers worth exploring as we go throughout the week, which is this Dallas Chargers game. Chargers by 3, astronomical total now because it's been bet up so much, 55.5. So I know a lot of people expecting points in KC, Baltimore. Well, actually, the same or more points are being expected in Dallas and the Chargers. You know, this strikes me as a little bit of an overreaction to the first Chargers game that we got, where obviously they beat Washington. Herbert looks pretty good. What do you make of the Chargers as about a field goal favorite with a big total against Dallas?
Yeah, that is an interesting one. We obviously get those island game spots like we did with Dallas on Thursday night. And obviously the only thing we can remember is the last thing we saw because we're all just goldfish and that's just how it works. And we know that the Cowboys are a national team anyway, that this is a de facto road or, you know, home game for them in LA. The total is a little high. Again, working around 55 is higher than I would want with a key number of 54. Sometimes seeing here in this new NFL, new key numbers that are popping up. You have to be excited if you're a Chargers fan with how that offensive line held up, knowing that was, you know, a major issue last season and how that was really the mismatch last week. We expected that Washington could be able to early before they really kind of galvanized and got those reps together. and slow down that pass rush. They didn't. They were able to kind of pick apart and do what they wanted to do there. So I haven't made a play on it. I still have to really dig deeper into it. I've been watching that movement and kind of surprised that it keeps climbing up there, but probably more of a fantasy DFS play than a bet for me at this point. Maybe some props for sure when those start to drop.
Ryan, fantastic job here on the show making your You Better You Bet debut. We want everyone to check Ryan out on Twitter, at Ryan Noonan. We want everyone to check out 4for4. We are big fans of what they're doing there. Ryan, Connor Allen, our guy Rick Camp does an awesome job there doing NBA player props. So these are friends of the show, literally family members of the show with Rick. So show these guys some support. 4for4 and check out their podcast, Move the Line. Ryan, appreciate it. Good luck in week 2, and we'll touch base again down the line this season.
Thanks, Ellis. Cash some tickets this weekend.
Yeah, we'll hopefully.
Yes. Ryan, we'll cash some. Hopefully more than we won't cash, right?
Yeah, hopefully more than we won't cash, kind of is how it goes, right? Whatever you prefer, coming up in 25 minutes, but coming up next here on You Better You Bet, the great Brian Baldinger. Baldy joins Nick and Ken.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.